Our intention isn't that everybody come every year for 20 years. We like to hear of some going on to the mission field, such as Angelo Morales. He came the first year to BTM. Between then and the second year, he'd already been to China and Syria. He wants to be a foreign missionary. I need to catch up with him and see how things are going for him. But that's the whole purpose of BTM, getting a chance to get a passport, travel into a foreign country. And if you don't become a foreign missionary, you know somewhat how to pray more for them, because all of us are either goers or senders from the scriptures. Please turn to Acts 15 if you're not already there. And Brother Fred has helped us greatly in this chapter. My review of that is very brief at the beginning, because I have one thing I want to deal with primarily today. Now, this particular chapter begins with a contention and it ends with a contention. The first contention is one that is being brought into the church. It's a false teaching, and they dealt with that in the assembly. The second was a contention between two brothers who had worked together very closely for some time. It's a sad ending to the chapter. But we see the contention against the gospel in verses 1 through 5. That contention was resolved through a church council in 6 through 21, and then the resolution was implemented in 22:20-29 with the statement that the Gentiles should abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Then it goes on to say farewell. Let's read verses 30 through the end of the chapter. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter, this letter that had been formed through the council. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your recorded history, which teaches us of your glory and of our need of your saving grace. Father, encourage us in this brief time we have in this word. Teach us, Lord, apply it to our hearts, and we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen. In a quotation at the top, I quote Guy Waters, who is asking some questions about these four things that were told in the letter to the saints. And the bottom line in his commentary is, and you can read it for yourself later, that James was concerned for Jews who were reading in the Old Testament every Sabbath day, things that were in their minds. And he was trying to help the Gentiles. How do you interface with Jews who have this in their background? And he said there's four things you need to abstain from, and those would be things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Now, three of those are aspects of the ceremonial law that was fulfilled in Christ at the cross. One is the seventh commandment that is extant on. And questions have been, well, why do you have three one way and then one or the other? Why'd you put the four together? And commentators have pretty much said that These are four things that were integral in the idolatry worship in idol temples. And when a Jew thought about that idolatry, that's what they saw. Those four things going on, which were completely contrary to the word of God. And so he said, stay away from these things so that you can have better unity with the Jews. Brother Fred had taken us to Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8, which also speak about these measures where Christians get together and some think you can eat this meat, some think you can't eat this meat. Be very careful how you interface with one another in that, in the expression of your liberties. We go on from there to this last section where Paul and Barnabas had gone back with this letter to Antioch. It had been well received. They were continuing in unity, continuing in teaching. And then Paul thinks in his pastoral mind, we need to go back and see how those churches are doing and strengthen them. And apparently, Barnabas thought also that was a good thing to do. Let's do that. He had one amendment. Let's bring John Mark back with us. And you notice this word here, it says, Paul insisted. This is a very strong statement in the original language. It's like, this cannot happen. And you see from Paul's perspective, who would later write that the deacons must also be proved, that this man needs to be proven. He left us even before we really got into the heavy part of the work. I hadn't even been stoned yet, and he's leaving the work. He needs to be tested further. Barnabas, acting true to his personality, remember he was called what? What was the phrase they gave him, the renaming of Barnabas? Encouragement. He was the son of consolation. Sort of like if you're down, get next to Barnabas. If you've been next to Barnabas, you're not down. It's just the way he was. And you've got to go back and remember that Saul himself, who later became Paul, what was the relationship there? What was Barnabas' first dealings with Saul? Remember, they were scared to death of this guy. Listen, he kills Christians. It took Barnabas' influence to go into Jerusalem and say, listen, this man is the real thing. He is a real saint. You need to listen to him. And it says, then he went in and out. They received Barnabas' word. Paul was then given the chance that he did. And so, I don't know if Barnabas thought back to Jonah. Remember, Jonah got a second chance. I mean, can't we give this man a second chance? And neither one could move off that position. Now, my point eight, I'm not reading through all of this. Point eight says the church was not consulted for arbitration to resolve this conflict. You remember conflicts that occurred in chapter 6 where the widows, the Hellenist widows, the Greek widows, were not being served as they felt they should. And so the apostles who had been taking care of this ministry said, we need assistance. You look out among yourselves, seven men, honest report, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll put them over this work. And they did that. And there was a blessing, there was increase in the influence of the word of God among them and others. We saw the same thing in chapter 15. Here is a problem. A teaching has come into the church. We need to go together and consider this. And the church stood with the gospel. You do not need to be circumcised to be saved. And came up with this resolve. This is a very abrupt ending to this chapter. It's like it comes to a screeching halt. Here we are, everything is just perfect, but then there's this contention that is not resolved. And it tells us in the passage that, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. I don't think that doesn't mean that Barnabas didn't have grace, but we don't hear of Barnabas again in the book of Acts. This is a history about Paul's ministry, and we could say, well, maybe Paul was in the right, but it seems like the way it is written that the only hero here is the Lord Jesus. He is the one who forgave Paul and Barnabas of any sin involved in this contention. It tells us in the book of Proverbs to leave off contention before it is meddled with. It's sort of like the water from a dam. If you just let a little crack in a dam, forget that. It's going to be a big crack in the dam when you start in contention. Any of you have ever been in an argument? It just seems like it ramps up. It usually doesn't ramp down. And so there is this severance of this beautiful relationship, Only in God's providence do we see benefits from this. What could have been some benefits providentially from this division? Okay. It doesn't say that Barnabas left the faith, Mark left the faith, there was no more preaching of the gospel. They went on to Cyprus. There were those who heard the gospel through these men, and John Mark was being further discipled in a mission trip. Okay, something else. Oh, we need to pray for Izzy. She is being baptized today. Amen. Something else, some other providential blessing. Okay, the gospel's spread is being double in a sense. And there were churches also in Cyprus that had been established, and they needed to be strengthened too. Paul wasn't going to them, and so Barnabas did. Later on in the Word of God, let's look at some of those passages. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 10, Paul says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Apostolic command, welcome this man. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. Verse 11 says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. I think the old King James says profitable to me for the ministry. And so now Paul is actually commanding that John Mark be brought because I need him. And so whatever God did through Barnabas, he strengthened Mark. Mark continued in the faith. He's now a great help to Paul, and frankly, his greatest work is yet to be done. What is he going to do? Write a simple Gospel of John. How many people have preached out of that message? So it's got a beautiful ending. And one of the other beautiful parts of this that I hadn't seen until a couple of years ago was teaching through 1 Corinthians. And I came across chapter 9. If you go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, in this chapter, Paul is basically saying, I am a trailblazer. I am not going to take any remuneration for preaching the gospel. I don't want anyone saying you're doing this for money. I don't want the gospel to ever be impugned in that way. However, I'm going to teach you that you need to be careful and provide for the ministers who provide for you spiritual things, should you not also provide carnal things, physical things for them. And so we're going to pick up on that argument. It says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Now, this was written before or after the division. He hadn't even been to Corinth yet, had he? The church hadn't even been established in Corinth. Now he's writing to Corinth. He's speaking positively of Barnabas. And it makes you wonder, well, is there some kind of relationship yet developed where he's now speaking about Barnabas and the way he serves and the way he has withheld himself from receiving funds and taking a wife? So this is a great encouragement as well, that the Lord brought Paul and Barnabas back together in heart, if not in physical ministry. And I say, to glory be to God for his work through Jesus Christ, because it is Christ who's building his church. You may look back on times in your life where there's been divisions in family or in church, and those things leave scars in our hearts. And yet, if time passes God is going to fulfill his promise to work all things together for good. The thing might not have been good. There may have been sin on both parts. But God has a glorious way of making things all beautiful in his time, as he says in Ecclesiastes. Any questions or comments? Well, thank you for bearing with that short lesson in Acts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the grace that has brought us to this day. We thank you for our sister Izzy, who will be baptized today. We pray that you would bless her, encourage her, and remind her that it is only by Jesus Christ that she has this great grace and this salvation in him, all of her sins forgiven, Christ's righteousness imputed to her, and all the promises of eternity secure in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you bless our gathering together unto you, that each saint would be edified, any without Christ might be convicted and drawn to yourself. We pray for our dear brother Fred, that you would fill him with your spirit to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to guide us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.